So, this morning we have Debbie Heath in the studio once again to review another audio book by Adam Kay called This Is Going to Hurt. And this is a novel set in the medical world of junior doctors and the NHS. So, Debbie, this was your choice, a really good choice, I thought. So, shall we talk a bit about Adam Kay, the author?
Yeah, so I first became aware of him about 18 months ago now, where there was the BBC adaptation of his book. He was a junior doctor between roughly 2004 and 2011, I think. And this book chronicles some of his experiences. It's like a James Herriot type book, but about junior doctors, but with a bit more of a social undertone, a slightly political undertone. It's not spoiling the story because it says right at the beginning that Adam stopped practicing medicine after about 5-6 years, and he now works in TV as an editor. Yes, as a script editor, I believe.
He's a script editor, and I think he did a bit of stand-up as well. His, as you said, the book has been made into a TV series, which I'm sure he had a hand in.
I would hope so, yeah. What is very clear is that he has a really good ear for comedy. So yes. I understand how he has ended up in that job. And when he stopped practicing medicine, he put all his things in a storeroom in his house and just didn't think about them for years. And then I think if you haven't been practicing medicine for 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, you cease to become a registered physician. And he got this letter and thought, right, it's silly me keeping all my notes. So he went through them and threw most of them out, but found his diary. You're supposed to keep a reflective practice journal as you are training, which he did with his trademark comedy style. And it's these diaries that he has turned into this book.
Yeah, and a very effective book it is, isn't
Absolutely.
It? But I think it's his pace and his humour, which is what you'd probably call dark comedy or bittersweet comedy, because behind the laughter, there's a very, very serious point he's making. And he reveals to us in a very comedic way. Most junior doctors are overworked, and he goes into great detail about that. An 18-hour day is quite normal. And the fact that your shift finishes at 6 means nothing, and you could be there till 10 or 11 o'clock in the evening. So he does explain to us very well what it's like to be a junior doctor. And we should now just pause for an excerpt from the audiobook.
Monday the 23rd of October 2006. Called to A&E to review a gentleman in his 70s. I check with the A&E officer that he realises he's bleeped gynaecology. Reviewing a man would be rather pushing my remit. It's complicated, apparently. He'll explain when I get down there. I meet patient NS, a Sikh gentleman who speaks no English at all. He's on holiday, visiting family, and has been unhelpfully accompanied to the hospital by a relative who also speaks no English. His history is therefore taken with the assistance of a telephone interpreter service. In this instance, a Punjabi translator is on the line, and the phone is passed back and forth. This particular interpreter may have rather fudged his CV. He seems to be able to speak only slightly more Punjabi than someone who can't speak any Punjabi whatsoever. The stoic A&E staff have been making glacial progress using the interpreter and relay what they've established. The patient is bleeding from down below, has been doing so for the past week, and, crucially to my attendance, is a hermaphrodite. I tell the A&E officer that I sincerely doubt this elderly bearded man is part of the intersex community and ask him to speak to the interpreter. Can you ask if the patient has a womb? The phone gets passed back, and the patient starts to repeat a word to us very loudly and angrily in Punjabi. The patient furiously unbuttons his shirt to reveal a portacath. A eureka moment. In unison, we all say, "Hemophiliac!" And I leave them to deal with his rectal bleed. Hermaphroditism is a very rare intersex disorder where the patient possesses both testicular and ovarian tissue. It's named after the Greek legend of Hermaphroditus, who was said to be both male and female. He/she was the son/daughter of Hermes and Aphrodite, who, it must be said, had a pretty lazy system for naming their children.
I'll tell you something interesting, Marley. This is why I bought the book in the first place. My 16-year-old is just on his GCSEs, and this book was in the English language paper.
Really?
Yes. So they have a paper where they have to compare two factual pieces of writing and compare the writer's viewpoints.
Right.
And this was one of them. And I think it's such a good choice for an exam, yes, actually, because it's not simply about being funny. There is a definite undertone. And I just thought, what a brilliant choice. So he came back saying, great exam. Can I have the book? And you don't have that from any exam. So bought in the book and I thought, well, let's listen. I'll listen to it. You read it. And we're really enjoying talking about it at home. And I thought, I bet Marley would discuss this as well. Now, you'd already read it, hadn't you?
I hadn't read it, but I had seen the TV series.
Oh, same as me. Okay.
Which is very different. Obviously, been adapted.
It is. Yeah. They've put another plot in.
They've included other characters in it, and they've kind of fleshed out a lot of the people. He mentions only by initial. He does have a partner. And you do get to see the partner in the TV series.
Yeah.
So obviously for dramatic effect, they expanded upon his stories. But the basics are still there. And it's played by Ben Whishaw, who's a fantastic actor
who plays
Adam in the series. So reading the book, and I had to adjust to diary entries, I laughed even more, I have to say.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I have to say I did. And I think all of our readers will, Marley. I think the great thing about this book is that everyone's experienced the NHS, haven't they?
Yes.
Most people, I'm sure most of our listeners have. We've all got our stories. We've all got our point of identification. We've all had some great experiences with doctors and some not so good. So I think this is a real winner, and it's why it's become a bestseller.
At the end of the written book, there's very accolades from other comedians who say, also say, this is the funniest book they've ever read. I did like the beginning of the book when he said he chose to work in the maternity ward because it's the only place that you actually double your patients. And as compared to the geriatric ward. And, you know, there's lots of quips like that in the book that make you laugh, although sometimes you feel a little bit guilty about laughing.
You do. I think we've got some lovely quotes, haven't we? There's one that we picked from quite early on in the book, before he's actually specialised, that we could listen to now, just to show how great this guy is at writing comedy.
Tuesday, 31st of May, 2005. 3 nights ago, I admitted patient MJ, a homeless guy in his 50s, with acute pancreatitis. This was the third time we'd admitted him with acute pancreatitis since I started this job. We got him comfortable with pain relief and started him on IV fluids. He was sore and miserable. "At least you get a warm bed for a few nights," I said. "You joking," he replied. "I'll get bloody MRSA in here." It's come to something when the streets outside a hospital have a better reputation for cleanliness than the corridors within. I don't like to preach, but I'm a doctor, and not wanting him to die is kind of in the job description. So I reminded him he's in here because of alcohol, even if I can't persuade him to stop drinking, which I can't. Could I at least ask him to stay off it until we've got him out of hospital, as that will really help? This time it'd be a real bonus if he wouldn't mind laying off the alcohol dispensers. He reared back like I'd just accused him of twincest, telling me that of course he'd never do that. They've changed the recipe recently, now it tastes really bitter. He pulled me closer to whisper in my ear that in this hospital you're best off sucking on some of the sanitising wipes. And he gave me a conspiratorial tap on the arm as if to say, "That's one on me." Tonight he discharged himself home, but will doubtless be back with us in the coming weeks.
It's so hard to choose excerpts, I think, because literally on every page there's a funny story or a funny anecdote, or he has a play on words as well.
Mm.
Also, I was thinking, you have to, reading or listening to this book, it's not for someone who's a little bit shy of medical terms, and it's not for anybody who's a bit squeamish.
Yeah, although I would say he explains the medical terms pretty well. I will say that the language is a bit fast.
Yes.
It's not offensive.
There's quite a lot of swearing, yes. Let's be honest. There's a fair amount of swearing in it.
But it's justified. Like, I don't like swearing very much, but it didn't annoy me. It didn't put my back up.
Normally you would say swearing shows a sign of lack of vocabulary. Mm. But I think in this particular context, it works. And I think the swearing is part of his frustration of not always being able to do the job that he's employed to do. And I think it goes part and part with it. Mm. Along with the dark humour, I think it's justified in this case.
I think so.
I mean, there are various instances in the book where he compares notes with his colleagues and they tend to sort of meet at the end of the day and discuss their cases and who has the most outrageous case. And there's one particular scene where he talks to a colleague about the most outrageous names he's heard babies been given.
Yes.
And there's one called Satan that particularly sticks in my mind. And another one called Lasagna. So it's a way of relieving the pressure, isn't it?
Definitely.
Another thing that struck me, and I think we're just talking about the NHS, and as you've rightly said, everyone has experience of the NHS. Mm. It's very rare that you wouldn't have had experience. And it does give you this really, really specific insight into what it's like at the coal front.
Absolutely. And it has opened my eyes. I have certainly had sympathy with the junior doctors, but I realised I didn't have enough. It really, really made me think. I suppose I thought, yeah, I know it's hard. I know how long hours these people work, but in the fullness of time, they're going to be earning a very high salary. I was wrong. It really is. It's appalling. Their average wage, if they take all the hours they work rather than the ones they're kind of contracted to, is less than minimum wage. And these people have invested 7 years of their life studying. Yeah. There's so much money studying.
Yes.
And it's so hard with degrees now, isn't it, that you have to think about whether you're ever going to get the money back. And I'm not surprised so many people drop out.
Absolutely right. I felt the same way about it. I thought I'd understood what their position was. But I think this book should be compulsory for any health ministers.
Well, I mean, that's what I like about it. And it's the same with theatre. As you know, I write plays. I do prefer to be entertained than preached at. But if something can entertain and make you think, then I think that's the perfect piece of art. And I think that's what Adam Kay has achieved here. And he's honest about that, particularly in the last couple of chapters of the book, that he sees himself as a bit of a vigilante here. So yes, I agree. I think every health minister should read this book. And I hope that they reach some kind of compromise. Part of it is about working conditions.
Yes.
So there's a bit in the book, isn't there, about signing away their rights, basically, for the
European directive.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely right. And I think it's 35 hours a week that we're all supposed to work. And obviously they have to sign to say they're going to work more.
Yeah.
So immediately they're on the back foot, because he does explain several times over in the book that you can't leave a patient. You can't say, it's my shift is finished and I can leave now. You can't, because you may be in the middle of an operation, you may be in the middle of a consultancy, you could be in the middle of something. You can't walk out. It's not an option for junior doctors. Again, a lot of time when the sickness happens, you have to cover your colleagues' shifts.
Yeah,
so that means double shifting. And he, in quite a few incidents, he falls asleep in his car.
he wakes up Christmas morning. I'm late for work. Oh no, I actually didn't leave the car park.
Yes.
And at one point he gets food poisoning and phones in and they say, "All right, find someone to cover you."
Yes, and the emphasis is on him to find someone to cover.
I know.
Yeah. It's very funny. And we should now just pause for an excerpt from the audiobook.
Wednesday, 27th of September 2006. I'm off sick for the first time since qualifying. Work weren't exactly sympathetic. Oh, for God's sake, spat my registrar when I rang in. Can't you just come in for the morning? I explained I had caught bad food poisoning and was in some kind of gastrointestinal meltdown. Fine, he said, with a kind of weary, simmering, passive aggression I normally only get at home. But phone around and find someone who's on leave to cover you. Now, I'm pretty sure this isn't the protocol at Google or GlaxoSmithKline or even Ginsters. Is there a single other workplace where you'd conceivably be asked to arrange your own sickness cover? The North Korean army, maybe. I wonder what level of illness would stop it from being my responsibility. Broken pelvis? Lymphoma? Or just when I was intubated on ITU and denied the power of speech?
And the other quote that just struck me as well is that he says that a lot of patients come in with a birth plan. And his kind of reaction to that is a bit like having a weather plan and the weather you would like to have.
Yes.
Know, nature does not take notice of any kind of plan. Nature will do what nature wants to do. Yeah. And I think that's very often the case in obviously in the maternity ward, because so many things can and do go wrong. And here we have an excerpt from the book with Adam's views on birth plans.
Friday, 6th of February, 2009. The whole thing was doomed from the start. Having a birth plan always strikes me as akin to having a what I want the weather to be plan or a winning the lottery plan. Two centuries of obstetricians have found no way of predicting the course of a labour, but a certain denomination of floaty-dressed mother seems to think she can manage it easily. Needless to say, HJ's birth plan has gone right up the swanee. Hypnotherapy has given way to gas, and air has given way to an epidural. The midwife tells me the patient snapped at her husband to turn that BS off when he was fiddling with a volume on the whale grunts. She's been stuck at 5 centimetres dilatation for the best part of 6 hours, despite syntocinon. We've given it a couple more hours twice now. So I explain baby isn't going to come out vaginally, and I'm not prepared to wait until it inevitably becomes distressed and there's a huge emergency. We're going to need to perform a cesarean section. As expected, this doesn't go down particularly well. Come on, she says, there must be a third way. Well, I'm loath to court a formal complaint from a patient who wants their birth to be blog post perfect and has somehow been let down by nature. I've had a complaint in the past from a patient who I refused to allow to have candles burning while she laboured. I don't think it's such an unreasonable request, she wrote, about having naked flames right next to oxygen tanks. This patient's got strongly worded email written all over her. So I cover myself by asking the consultant to pop by and have a quick chat with her. Luckily, Mr. Cadogan is on duty. He's fatherly, charming and soothing, and he smells expensive, which has posh women flocking to the private ward he'd much rather be on. He soon has HJ consented for theatre. He even offers to do the section himself, to quiet mutterings of derision and amazement from the other staff. No one here can remember the last time he delivered a baby for free. Perhaps golf's been rained off.
Yeah, it's a great read. It's so funny, so enlightening. And I think I got through it within a week. It was so hard to put down.
It was very, very easy to get through. Very readable, very listenable. Yeah, so maybe we should do our three reasons for listening to this audiobook.
Okay, well, for me, the first one is that it's a really funny, engaging read. The second is that it really will make you think, and because of the way it makes you think about the NHS, it might change the way you behave in the future when you encounter the NHS. I think it's two reasons, actually. It's a really funny book, and it really does make you think.
Yes, it does. I'd agree with both of those points. It's very funny and serious at the same time. And it's quite a skill to do that.
Absolutely.
It's a real skill to be able to take a really, really dark moment in your life, or several dark moments in his particular career, and make them funny and look back and find the humour in it.
Yeah, without being offensive in some way.
Without being offensive, without offending anybody, and just step back from something you've been very heavily involved in and be able to take a light-hearted approach. But in doing that, revealing so much. It's very clever in that way. And you learn so much from the book. That's what I thought. There's so many medical terms I now understand, which I previously didn't.
Yeah, so if we're ever in hospital and they speak in some of those funny medical codes, we'll know what they mean.
So, yes, it's definitely worth a listen. As I said before, not for maybe the squeamish or those who might be offended by a little bit of bad language, but it's worth it and it's totally justified. If you get a chance, do listen to this audiobook and maybe give us some feedback.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you, Marley.
Very enjoyable. Next month, we're not here, but we'll be back in September with our next audiobook review.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
See you then. Bye.